Yeah, that's still part of the process that we've been going through. You know, a lot depends on, you know, the health, obviously, and kind of where we are. We'll weigh all that as we get closer. We still got some ways to go.
So do you need all four preseason games to evaluate your team?
We have a system. We've been playing under the same system for a long time, and so you have the four games. So every coach, every general manager and stuff has their idea of what they need to do it. You know, I think if it changed, we'd change with it. But, it's the way it has been. When I was a rookie, there were six preseason games. You guys would love that.
How would you love that?
I actually liked it because I was a rookie free agent. I was wanted every shot I could get. Well, you guys know how I am. I'm a protector, so I'm always holding my breath, whether it's a regular season game or preseason game. But it's football's football. We're getting through it.
Kind of on the same line, Ted, the third preseason game is the closest, like the regular season, where the starters play the most, and they call it like the dress rehearsal for the regular season. Do you tend to put a little more weight on this game when you're evaluating guys, if they're fighting for a roster spot?
I don't know that it's any more important than the other games. You know, I think they're all. You're looking for that spark. You're looking for that thing that sets a player apart from other players. And it's not exact science, but we're hopeful to come out with some good ones.
How do you balance the day-to-day practice habits versus a player who flashes?
It's all part of the equation. It probably depends on what kind of mood I'm in on that particular day. The guy has to have a certain level of talent to play in the National Football League. Some people can take whatever talent the good Lord gave them and go beyond what you might think they can do because they want to play so badly or they like the game so much. Sometimes people with more talent don't reach those levels. I mean, it's all, you know, you try to weigh it like you would any other personnel decision and try to make the best decision you can.
What's something you need to see in Graham Harrell Thursday?
Just continued improvement, you know, bounce back. I know there's been a lot of criticism. I think Mike's mentioned that he graded out much better than you might expect. It's not always easy doing the second half of a preseason game when the chaos is coming at you pretty good. But he's doing okay.
Ted, what is it about him and what is it about your coaches and their track record with quarterbacks that gives you faith in Graham?
Well, he's a very hard worker. He really likes playing the game of football. He knows the nuances of playing that position. And we have faith in a lot of our guys.
Ted, the expansion from 80 to 90 with the rosters, does that make the first round of cuts any more difficult for you, or is it pretty much the same process as
always? You know, any sort of mandated cuts are always difficult because you got people that, you know, are – trying hard to make an impression, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. So it's a hard time.
So how much has that roster expansion helped? I remember Ron used to try and get as many World League guys as he could so he could have those roster exemptions and have more guys in camp.
And there were a number of times when we were close to 90 in the World League era. I think it's good to have, you know, be able to put your hands on 10 more players, you know, in terms of developing, and you don't get to have them a whole lot, but, you know, you can get them from the draft time going forward. I think it's helpful.
Do you think the increased numbers in the training camp, when it comes to shaking out the final 53 for all the teams, how do you think that will manifest itself in terms of teams maybe less inclined to probably make deals because more players will be on the market? Do you think that will be something
My guess is it will conduct itself the way it always has. There'll be some teams. We all do this. All 32 teams have been studying the other 31 teams for the last two or three weeks. And with this day and age of video, I mean, we get the games the very next day, you know. So our guys are doing it right now as we speak, putting together evaluations, not draft boards, but who they kind of like that may be in a little bit of trouble at their place and that sort of thing. Try to evaluate strengths and weaknesses. I don't think anything will change there.
Along those lines, is your phone typically right now, or is it usually kind of a last day or two sort of thing, or do you start getting more phone calls?
A little bit of both. The ones now are, you know, a lot of times fishing, but both. It usually gets, you have more interest as you get closer.
Do you want to fishing?
Say again?
Are you doing any fishing?
We fish from time to time.
Back to the scouting the others, how extensive is that process? I mean, you have guys at stadiums, or is it mostly film work? And how many names are, let's say, on that potential board?
It's a good question. It's kind of a balancing act because you have to try to weigh the cost of your time and the expense of having people on the road. We do think it's good to get eyes on as much as we can. At the same time, you get more quality work in terms of evaluating individual players or a team off the tape because you're sitting in your office, you got your ice cold water there next to you and all that, and you're all comfortable. So you're not trying to catch a plane, you're not trying to catch a cab to a game and fighting traffic and doing all that. You're working, but there is some value, especially teams that you're going to be playing early on. We study them pretty hard.
Ballpark, how many guys make your list?
Ballpark of what?
How many names would be on that list of guys that caught your eye?
Oh, no, that's pretty expansive, you know, because historically speaking, you try to make a guess as to how that team, a particular team, is going to do their final decisions. Those decisions usually are different than what you thought they would do, so you come up with a different set of guys that you might have an interest in. And it's not a secret. Like I said, everybody does it.
Tate, I've probably addressed this one way or the other over the years, but during McCarthy's time, there's usually been an issue where if it's penalties or sacks or special teams or defense or whatever it is, he always says he gets it fixed, and he does. What's his strength there, getting that done?
Well, I think Mike has a unique ability to be able to get the team to focus on the task at hand, so to speak. If it happens to be one of those things that you mentioned, they focus in on it. And I think our team, you know, we have, I know people talk about us being a young team, but we have, you know, an evolving, more veteran team. And I think those guys will lead the way when he points something out like that.
And you know, John Schneider's got a few ex-Packers in Seattle. Reggie's got a couple in Oakland. You know, you have a relationship still with Mike Holmgren. Does any of that factor in when it comes to talking about trades or anything like that? I mean, do your relationships play any role, and if so, what?
Probably, to a point. And then at the same time, we all fell from the same tree, and we all know that the other one is lying, probably. Or not necessarily lying, distorting the truth.
Have you ever in your history, whether it's here or someplace else, had like a, you know, an under-the-radar guy, whether it's undrafted or a late-round pick, and decided to tell your coach, you know, let's not play him a whole lot during the preseason so there's not a whole lot of film out there so we have a better chance of going through the practice squad or something?
No. We've never done that because you wouldn't be able to evaluate that player against somebody else, you know. Sometimes it just works out that way. You're getting caught up in a preseason game and you're planning on somebody doing something in the fourth quarter and you don't get to play defense in the fourth quarter or something like that.
Evaluating the guys that have missed time here in camp, some of the injured guys that don't have a lot of film, how does that process go? Potential, past work, or how does
You know, a little bit, yeah, that sort of thing. It makes it difficult because, and we talk about this every year about this time, people are afforded different opportunities. Sometimes it's, you know, through the accident of somebody getting nicked up or tweaking something, and they can't get the same rep. So it's never going to be fair and equitable. You try to just make the best decisions you can based on the information that you have and the body of work that they put together.
Being a former player, you, I don't know if I've ever heard you criticize a player publicly. I'm assuming that's part of it. What about on the flip side? Do you choose not to talk about some of the guys that do well in your camp because you don't want anybody to know that you like them?
No, I just think things change so much in training camp. I think we all, in a perfect world, especially me, I would like to have this vision to be able to predict the future with all these guys and know exactly how it's going to work out. I can't do that. And so I think to go too far overboard, you know, and I think you guys have to report and you watch a practice, you see somebody make a couple plays, you think, well, this guy's a great player or he's on the move. When in fact he might not be, it might be just fell into a couple of things.
I just ask because, like, a guy like Boykin, who, you know, was incredibly productive in college, but doesn't get drafted, doesn't even stick with the first team he signs with after the draft, and, you know, to the non-trained eye, the kid looks pretty good in games and in practice. What do you see from a young guy like that?
Well, again, I don't speak about any of our guys specifically, but, you know, I think people get opportunities and then they either do what they're supposed to do at the time they're supposed to do it and are fortunate enough to make a play, or maybe they're doing something completely wrong at the time they're not supposed to be doing it and they happen to make a play. You can look at the same thing and come up with two different evaluations. I am. If I talk to the coaches, they'll tell me that somebody's doing something bad.
Ted, it's not all about wins and losses in the preseason, but what do you need to see out of this game? And is there any concern in certain positions about the backups or the depth or what certain guys bring to the table because of what's happened in the two previous games?
Well, I mean, you're always working on your depth and across the board. That's the reason we do all the scouting and things like that. But yeah, we want to see continued improvement and work. You know, there are always remarkable surprises in preseason, especially as you get down to the end of it. You guys have seen it here. Somebody, you know, that nobody's written about, nobody knows about, nobody's even talked about, all of a sudden has the kind of game that warrants consideration. I think it's a unique thing to see, and there's opportunity that's still out there for our guys.